welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer, and welcome back to the beautiful campus of Southwestern.
Well, thank you. I am always glad to be here. You know, and I'm always glad to be in the Southwestern Sound Studio also, which, by the way, is in the library.
Yes, which, by the way, we have open 24 hours a day.
Whoa, really?
Part of the honor code is that students can swipe themselves into the library and just use the facility. And it's really, I've never been an institution that has had that. We don't have individuals that are kind of mining the table or mining the store, if you will. It's just students come in and use it as if it was their own, which it is.
You know, libraries are evolving over time as our sort of collection of physical books in the world tends to give way to ebooks and e-readers and all of that. I do actually want to talk about reading today.
Oh, fun.
And here's why. I heard a story on All Things Considered, which is NPR's afternoon news show. They were interviewing a four-year-old girl. This was about a month ago or so. She has read 1,000 books.
Now,
not War and Peace. I mean, she's reading age appropriate. I mean, first of all, she's four and she can read, which is very
impressive.
That's
amazing. Yeah.
Her mother says, you know, she started when she was about two. It really is an incredible story. But it got me thinking about reading and American reading habits. And the Pew Research Center had done some research. And essentially, there's a lot of research about technology. And do we read physical books or e-readers or how we consume books? But the bottom line is really that the average American reads about four books a year. Some people, it's closer to 12.
Did they give any context what it was 50 years ago or what it was 100 years ago?
It hasn't changed a lot in about the past 4 or 5 years. And I think they were looking at if all of this technology has made it easier. Because I guess the argument would be, oh, well, if you can take a book anywhere, you know, on a reader or whatever, people might consume more books. It hasn't changed dramatically. So it got me thinking, what happened to just sitting down and reading a book, whatever format that book is in?
You know, it's interesting. I hadn't thought about this before since you're talking about reading, and I'm usually the arithmetic guy in the reading, writing, arithmetic. I wonder, and I don't know anything about this. Now we're just chatting for fun, but I wonder if, in fact, people are actually reading more today, and I would argue that they are reading more today, even though they're not reading more books. I would say because of how they use technology. Now, of course, slowly pictures and videos are even replacing text. But for a while, and I think still to this day, I think a lot of people read a lot of stuff on their phones or their other smart devices. And so it's interesting. I would wager, just based on nothing, basically based on my own life experience, that reading in terms of just how many words you read has gone up over the past, since I was a kid. When I was a kid, I used to watch TV. So it was reruns of Love Boat and I Love Lucy and the Partridge Family and the Brady Bunch.
Yes.
I was not reading except when I was reading books. Now I think people are not only reading books, but they're reading other things. That's just one observation. I think that reading that versus reading a book is a very different proposition, though.
And I do want to follow up on that, but I have to ask a very important question first.
Yeah, sure.
Who was your favorite Partridge?
The mother, of course.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Shirley Jones.
Shirley
in real
Jones.
Life. I believe her character was also Shirley on the show. If
that's
I'm remembering
right.
correctly, I may not. But
Shirley
yes.
Partridge, of course, yes. was the and then the second favorite was that little redheaded kid, Danny Bonaducci, who you know, always got into trouble. I could kind of relate to that kid. But no, the mother, of course.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Just checking. Had to do a little check in there. So you know what? What's really interesting.
No one's going
to
know what even that means, by the way. Our listeners are
so
hip.
Oh, I think they will. They will. Yeah.
Okay.
So what, you know, what's interesting to me, I'm thinking about, as you're talking about reading, I'm thinking about sort of the intersection then of actual physical books in school. And here's what I mean. So I have my stepdaughter is in high school.
Right.
She doesn't have textbooks.
Right.
Literally, there are for the classes that she takes, for the most part, there are a few textbooks in the classroom that you can sort of check out and take home. All of the content is accessed online.
Right.
So the experience, you know, the material is the same, but it's formatted differently. It's accessed differently. It's obviously not in book form. It's online. So that experience of grabbing a book and opening the pages and looking at it, that just, it doesn't happen.
That's right. And I think there's two things here. I mean, the question of what kind of device are you using to read a book, you know, versus reading a book at all. And so just two thoughts on that. First of all, I think you're right. Textbooks are going to continue to evolve or devolve, depending upon your opinion, in this fashion. It's a business decision. It's also allows a more effective way of communicating because you can incorporate video and hyperlinks.
Sure. And you can update.
Yeah, exactly.
More
you can change
frequently.
Things. And by the way, I'm not going to say anything disparaging about it because I've got many such online textbooks with videos that are out there that I've published. So I'm going to be a fan. But to me, it's the book, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, not a textbook now. I'm talking about an actual book that you would read. I don't know the answer to if there's a different experience, kind of a mindful experience, reading it on a kind of an e-device versus the pages. I will share with you and our listeners that I actually have never read a book on an e-reader. I only read paged books. I have never written in a book in my life. I refuse, like, you know, even highlighting.
Or oh, yeah.
Even
you
in textbooks. No. In fact, I was talking to some students just the other day how I refuse to destroy a book that way. So all my books are very pristine, I'm proud to say. So I just don't know the experience from one to the other. But to me, what's interesting is the reading of a book, which my definition of a book is something that involves a certain span of pages, that, you know, it's an investment of time. It gets back to things that we've discussed over other episodes on just mindfulness, being still, and even the importance of solitude. And you don't get that reading an article, or you don't get that, you know, reading a textbook or reading a short story, you know, a little snippet of something. You get that when you invest time on your own in something, in a story, and it could be fiction or nonfiction, biography or what have you, fantasy, but that immerses you and you are engaged with that and your mind and your creativity and your imagination completely on your own. To me, I think that's the most important part of reading from a kind of a psyche point of view, forgetting about the fact you might learn something or be challenged, or you might be uplifted, or, you know, and the emotional stuff. To me, I think from the kind of psychological point of view, that's the power of it. I don't know if it matters whether you're doing it on a smart reader or a book itself, but it's that commitment and engagement in a kind of a long-term thing rather than just reading a little snippet or a, you know, cliff note.
A thought about the process more. I have read, but using readers and then also physical books, many more physical books than digital copies, downloaded copies, if you will. But when I'm reading on a specific reader, what I notice is I think I actually stick with it longer. And I think it's because I can't see how much is left. Mm. So if I'm reading a physical book and it's, say, 300 pages and I'm on page 11, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have a long way to go. But on the e-reader, I just keep sort of, quote, turning the pages.
Right,
and
swipe.
I have no idea. I can disengage from knowing how much more is left. And I just keep
That's
going.
Fantastic, because I am not a big fan of reading tomes. And I love reading biographies. My favorite genre is biography and autobiography. And sometimes I just will shy away from those really big, fat, thick books because it's just too daunting. Very interesting that if you don't know what's behind there and just reading kind of page by page and keep swiping your finger, you don't realize that there's a lot
right.
more to come.
And I mean, and there are ways to see that this is page whatever out of whatever, but it doesn't feel the same. You know, page 11 of 300 is very different just seeing it, 11 of 300 versus seeing the other, you know, 289 pages.
Well, let me tell you how bad I am. So I'm not proud of this trait, but I will share a little personal thing that I actually, when I'm reading a book, I'm always very conscious of where I am physically in that mass
sure.
of papers,
yeah.
just because I kind of want to know. And I found myself doing that technologically. Like when I'm watching a movie online, I will like touch the screen to see how much time is left. And that really is bad. I'm sure that the producers and the directors of the film would be horrified that someone's like, you know, so conscious of kind of where we are in the scheme of things. It should just be rolling out in real time and I should be enjoying it or whatever, entertained by it. So I've incorporated some bad habits from my reading of pages to even how I watch video.
Nothing to read about this in particular, but it is time for a new puzzler.
And I've got one that's a visual one, so maybe it requires reading.
Okay.
Okay, this is going to be a little tricky, but I saw this – let me just give you the background. I saw this puzzler, actually, and I was able to figure it out on my own.
Okay, excellent.
Yes, but I was able to do it because of the class that I teach, Effective Thinking and Creative Puzzle Solving. Not because I've seen this puzzle there, okay, but because I use techniques of effective thinking that we've been touting for three seasons now.
Excellent.
So that's why I liked it. And it's a visual one, so I apologize to all of our listeners, but I'll do my best to describe it.
Okay, play along. Here we go.
Imagine, if you will, you have eight matchsticks, all of the same length, and you use them to form a two matchstick by two matchstick square. So imagine a square where each side has length two matchsticks, and you're drawing it beautifully. That's okay. Exactly right. Right. So a 2x2 square where the twos are matchsticks.
Okay.
Now imagine you have three more matchsticks of the exact same length as the other eight.
Okay.
The question is, can you use those three matchsticks to cut up the area of that square so that you will have two objects of equal area to themselves? So basically, you want to kind of take that square and you want to put these three matchsticks down so that you will now have cut the square into two pieces that have the same area. And just to be very, very clear, the matchsticks must kind of touch end to end.
Okay.
And they must kind of, you know, the end of the match must touch the side or the corner or whatever of the square. So no hanging off and things of that sort, obviously.
Can't stack them on top of each other.
Exactly.
And you have to use all three.
You have to use all three. The question is, is that possible or impossible? Mm. And if it's impossible, can you say why? If it's possible, can you say how? Mm. You have taken this two matchstick by two matchstick square, cut it using just three matchsticks into two pieces of equal area. A little visual, but if you draw a picture, you can then visualize it more easily. And if you think about it, this is a fun one that you can do if you apply the habits of effective thinking and the practices that we've been talking about for three seasons.
All right. Well, our listeners should be well prepped for this one then. So, Ed, as we wrap up here, I have to ask, you said you like biographies, autobiographies. What are some biographies you like to read? Who are people that you have enjoyed reading about when you decide, I'm going to invest time, I want to read about so-and-so? Who do you like to read about?
I mean, for me, it's people who I find interesting for a variety of reasons. I'm just thinking about my own little mini library that I have. I've read a lot of stuff on Lyndon Johnson. I found him a very interesting character. I've read a couple of books of Richard Nixon, because I think he's interesting.
Biographies,
yeah. I've not read any of his autobiographies. He's written several autobiographies. I haven't read any of those. There's a great one that came out a few years back about Benjamin Franklin that I really enjoyed. That was a big fat one that I enjoyed. I actually have on my bedside an autobiography of Dick Van Dyke that I bought. It was kind of on sale, and it looked interesting. And I met Dick Van Dyke 100 years ago on some Caribbean island and got his autograph. And so I haven't really gotten into that yet, but that's like my next book to read.
Well, I think we have to do a future episode on meeting Dick Van Dyke on a Caribbean island, but we'll discuss that later.
That was fun. That's actually a funny story. I'll tell you all about it.
Stay tuned, folks. In a future episode, Ed Berger meets Dick Van Dyke on a Caribbean island. But for now, Ed, thank you
of course
for helping us stay curious and for keeping our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find us on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT News.